What is up, Vermont Edition podcast listener? This is Elodie Reed, digital producer for VPR. Just to let you know, this podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Today is primary day in Vermont, but voting looks a little different this year than it has in previous primaries. Now, if you go to your polling place, you're likely to see more sanitation and distancing guidelines in place, but you might also see far fewer people. The coronavirus pandemic has led to a record number of Vermonters, 113,739, as we start the noon hour, to be exact, to vote absentee this year. Here's what mail-in ballots mean for Charlie Giannone, an assistant poll worker in Burlington's Ward 3.
Normally, on a regular election day for a primary, we'd have 800 total votes. In this one, we already have 900 absentee ballots. So we're expecting at least 200 or 300 people to walk in. So we're expecting more people to be voting today than normal because of the mail-in ballots.
Now, people voting in person today might see outdoor voting or some other way to cast a ballot that factors in social distance and sanitation. Here's Linda Wentworth, a Barrie City volunteer poll worker, inside the town's hockey rink, checking in voters for drive-through voting.
So they check in here, get the ballots, they park in the middle and hopefully remember to shut their vehicle off, and then the tabulator table is at the exit door. Walk-ins come in and use our one constantly sanitized station, and then they have to exit that way too. It's so far, we've only gotten yelled at once, and it's been running really smoothly.
Whoever thought we'd be seeing drive-in hockey rink voting? The changes will be new not just for voters, but for poll workers as well. Catherine Picard has been volunteering in Winooski elections for 25 years and says the pandemic couldn't stop her.
It's what I do. I love helping my community and being here for people, and I just make sure that we take extra precautions. It's funny how back in March when we had the election, nobody knew anything and we were all just doing our jobs, and not one of us, fortunately, became ill with COVID.
Boy, almost hard to remember what that presidential primary was like in March, and of course town meeting days as well, and all of the rest of the things that seem to be the before times. So voting is a little bit different this year for the primary. What has it been like for you? Did you vote in this primary? Did you vote maybe in this primary when you haven't in the past? And was that because of politics, because you were really energized to vote? Or maybe for some people, having a mail-in option, having it be easier and more prioritized actually reminded people and made more Vermonters vote in this primary. So if that's you, we'd love to hear it. If you are voting in a different way, maybe you're going to your polling place this morning or this afternoon. What's that been like? Why are you choosing that method? If you're not voting, you can let us know as well if this is just, you know, standard fare for you, or maybe you are avoiding voting for some other reason. We'd love to hear your perspective. So anyway, tell us your perspective. We want to hear from all kinds of people in this hour, and we're going to hear from all kinds of sort of official voices here, lots of town clerks around the state, as well as a poll worker, and Secretary of State Jim Condos, who can answer any questions that you have about statewide primary voting. But let's start things off with VPR's Southern Vermont reporter Howard Weiss-Tisman, who's been traveling around to a few different poll sites today. Hi, Howard. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Jane.
What does it feel like at the places you've been this morning?
Well, I'll tell you, my main observation, I went to three towns early today. I went to Westminster, Bellows Falls, and then Putney. And each one of those sites had a little wrinkle that they had to contend with. You know, I want to be clear, it wasn't like mass hysteria. Everyone had everything under control. But it sounded like each of those sites had a kind of 11th hour challenge they had to do. Westminster was supposed to be open at 8, but they opened at 10. I didn't get a reason why, because there was no one around. Then I went up to Bellows Falls. They were hoping to hold their voting at the Masonic Temple, and they changed over to the fire station at the last minute because they realized that their drive-through plan wouldn't work. And then I went to Putney, And it was the same kind of issue. They usually hold their voting at the fire station, and that wasn't going to work. So at some point, I don't know, in the last week or so, they ended up moving to the Putney Central School. So, you know, it really highlighted that everyone's making this up as they go along. No one's done this before. And, you know, people are being professional and trying to keep things clean, but really making this up as they go.
Were any of them worried that this would disenfranchise in-person voters who maybe didn't get the memo about a changed polling place or anything?
Yeah, they were worried about that. You know, again, at Westminster, people were showing up at 8. I don't know if they changed their plans or did it before work, but a lot of people were surprised to be closed at 10. And there was also, you know, some concern. I mean, there were signs up in Bellis Falls, so people were directed over to the fire station. So, they were handling it as it went along.
Yeah, and you mentioned drive-in voting. We heard from about the hockey rink drive-in voting, and you mentioned a change in plans. In which town was it that had to change over to a different spot for the drive-in voting?
Both Bellis Falls and Putney.
How is that going, drive-in voting? You know, who would have guessed it?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy to see. It seemed to be going well, as you said, in the top. You know, there aren't tons of people. I spoke with each of the town clerks at each of the towns, and they all said the same thing, that they've received, you know, more mail-in votes than they had people show up at the polls in the past. So it was kind of quiet. Cars were trickling in one at a time. I did speak with the town clerk in Putney, and he was a little nervous about what was going to happen in November. We could have snow in November. Obviously, you can't hold it outside. You can't have people lining up outside if it's cold. So he was very interested to see what the Secretary of State is going to learn from what happens today and how they change things around, because there are going to be a lot fewer options in November for the election.
We're hearing from listeners who have been observing things today, and we'd love your perspective if you voted or if you didn't vote, if you voted by mail, or if you chose to do the in-person version of voting, and maybe why in-person was important to you. You can give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211, or post on the VPR Facebook page. Tanya writes in talking about Waterbury, saying voters who turned out this morning at the Waterbury Municipal Office were also able to enjoy late summer blooms in the gardens out back. A sweet children's storybook garden with safely spaced interpretive signage makes a nice spot for families, too. Howard, again, in terms of in-person voting, did you hear about any towns struggling to recruit enough volunteers to work the in-person polls this year? Because, you know, that's been a concern for a lot of poll workers. What kind of risk would I be taking to staff a polling place?
Yeah, I did. I spoke to, again, the town clerk in Putney, and he said he had a really frank conversations with his volunteers. In a lot of these places, volunteers tend to be, seniors in our communities. They have time and they've been doing this a long time. So early on, he sent out a message just checking in how they felt about it. And a majority of them did sit this out. They did not show up. But he said, you know, he went on Facebook, he put a call out, and he did end up getting a whole bunch of new volunteers. So it wasn't trouble finding it, but it sounds like a lot of the folks who have been doing this for a long time did sit this one out.
That's interesting, though, that there may be a new crop of volunteers who have gotten recruited because of this particular situation, but maybe towns will be able to keep their claws in these people moving forward.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Also looking at the obviously more people are voting. So the same thing goes along with the absentee voting that, in a weird way, more people are getting involved with the democratic process through all of this.
Anything else you want to tell us about, Howard, before I let you go, or should I let you take off?
Yeah, I think we hit all the top spots. I spoke to a few of the voters, and I think what we also heard from some of the clips you had is that some people just like walking up and doing it the old-fashioned way. Even if it was a drive-through, I spoke to one guy who said, you know, he knew about absentee, but he wanted to show up. He could sit in his air-conditioned car, but he said he still likes coming by, chatting with people, and voting in person.
Well, it's interesting to hear about, Howard. Thank you very much for taking a little time out of your day to talk with us.
All right. You're welcome, Jane.
That's Howard Weiss-Tisman, VPR's Southern Vermont reporter. And again, we'd love to hear from you what you're observing or what choices you made about how to vote this year and if you voted this year. You can post them on the VPR Facebook page or call 800-639-2211. Julie Lynn is calling in from Colchester. Hi, Julie Lynn. What's your perspective?
Hi. So actually, it's funny that what you and Howard were just talking about. So I signed up. I'm 40 and signed up through a national initiative called PowerThePolls.org to volunteer at the polling places where a lot of folks who, you know, are often retired or older and in more at-risk communities typically do. And so I was super excited. I got the day off from work, was ready to go. And specifically, my clerk had asked me to help process the absentee ballots that came in by mail, which is also how I voted. But sadly, she called me this morning and they didn't have as many as they were expecting. So she doesn't need me. I'm a little bummed because it means I don't have to go to work. But I'm mostly sad because, you know, there's so much that's at stake this year. And I don't know if that just means a lot more people requested ballots than are returning them. But I just personally want to, you know, encourage folks for November, or if it's not too late for them, to still go out to their polling location and vote in person. That's so important. And especially with COVID, there's so much at stake and on the line for our kids and our communities. So I don't know why. I hope it's all good reasons. I hope people are just really excited to vote in person because we've been doing such a good job in Vermont at keeping COVID at bay. But I just wanted to share that and also put a plug in for folks who have flexibility in November to check out powerthepolls.org and volunteer if they can, because, you know, if folks don't show up to vote, to help others vote, we're not going to be able to have as many folks actually be able to engage in the process. And I think it's so important this year. So I just wanted to share that perspective.
Well, Julie Lynn, I really appreciate you sharing that perspective. And it's an interesting data point, because as we're going to talk with Secretary of State Jim Condos about in a few minutes, it looks like not only have there been, you know, way more absentee ballots going out to Vermont voters, but more have been returned. We could set a record for this primary, as I understand it. So it's interesting to see what you're observing in Colchester and what your town clerk said about not needing you because fewer ballots had come in, whether that means that it's a low rate of return or just lower than they were perhaps planning for would be an interesting thing to see as well, which, you know, once we have all of the results in, which may not be tonight, certainly probably won't be complete tonight, we'll be able to tell a little bit more about that. I appreciate that, Julie Lynn. Let's talk now with Sally Ober. Sally is the town clerk in Lincoln, where about 1,000 Vermonters are registered to vote. Hi, Sally. Nice to talk with you.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me.
So you don't have a drive-through hockey rink in Lincoln, but I understand you have a wedding tent that people get to vote in today?
Yes, it's a tent for a special occasion, and it feels like a special occasion today. And we have our polling place outside in the parking lot right in front of our building. I have a whole bunch of great volunteers, and I'm so grateful that our select board thought of it. It's been perfect. It's been so fun.
So fun. So you know, some town clerks are kind of tearing their hair out because this has been really stressful. You sound like you're enjoying yourself.
Today, I'm enjoying myself because it's the final day. It's been unbelievable leading up to it, but the fact that I'm in the home stretch makes me so happy. And I have worked so many hours, and so have all the other clerks. When I stopped last night and looked back at what we have accomplished in the last 6 weeks, it is incredible. We have worked double time for so long to get to this, and now we're here, and that's why I'm excited.
Well, so tell me a little bit, you used the word incredible twice. And so, I mean, it clearly feels very different to you. Is it just the volume of absentee voting or the educational outreach? I mean, what makes it feel both so stressful and so different?
Well, with the pandemic, there was a lot of learning in the beginning just about how to handle the pandemic safely and come back to work. When the governor, we had a little stay home, stay safe period. And when the governor started opening businesses back up again, we had to figure out first how to open our offices and do our own work safely. And we had, in the beginning of June, we had a whole bunch of requests for public records and information from title searchers and attorneys and realtors and people who had been staying home, staying safe for about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we were slammed in June with about 3 months worth of those requests all at once. And then at the exact same time, we were slammed with hundreds and hundreds of ballot requests. So it was like, it felt like the perfect storm to me. I have never experienced anything like this in my life as a town clerk. I've been doing this for 15 years. And people always get excited about presidential elections, but I have never seen the amount of interest in a primary that we've had so early.
Yeah, you said there were hundreds and hundreds of requests for absentee ballots. You only have about 1,000 voters registered in Lincoln, right? So what do you expect turnout might be?
Well, we do have a little over 1,000 voters, and I have already issued 463 absentee ballots. So our normal number of absentee ballots for a primary is about 50. So I went from normal being 50 to 463. And that's like almost a tenfold increase. It's just phenomenal. I had no idea. So I started going from being a small town who would sometimes just handwrite a label and mail out a ballot, a couple or, you know, a dozen a day, to processing ballots in hundreds and doing it like the big city. Like we were doing them in batches instead of one or two at a time. And so it was a big learning curve to figure out how to even physically find enough hours to do it. Each ballot takes about 11 steps from start to finish. And we never do that all at once. You send out a ballot and you wait for it to come back. But it's about 10 or 15 minutes just to get those ballots out per ballot. So if you multiply 10 or 15 minutes times 463, I'm a little tired right now. Can't do the math, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of hours. I have been working. I get paid to work like 33 hours a week, and I have been putting in over 60 hours a week for the last 6 weeks.
Wow. Wow. Do you have any sense of how many of those 463 ballots that were requested have been returned?
Yes, we've had over 300 of them. Again, they've been trickling in today, so I don't have an exact number. But when I went to bed last night, there were about 100 we were waiting on. And they're trickling in today. So I don't know if they will all make it back on time, but we have a good start on it at least.
Wow. And in terms of turnout in person, what does that look like?
That has actually been greatly reduced from normal. And that's so fantastic. I feel like today I'm almost a little more relaxed because I've done all the work up front. And today we're just handling about 20 voters an hour. So for the first 5 hours, we've had 128 voters come in. And it's a very comfortable pace of voters coming to the polls. We haven't been overwhelmed with lines. We're not bored. It's just right. I'm loving it. And it's kind of nice to hang out under a tent outside. We had a little sprinkle of rain, but it was so brief that I almost missed it. I was inside helping somebody with something and came out and it was over. So far so good with the weather, but we are fully prepared. If it does thunder and lightning, we have a plan to move indoors. And I'm just sort of, because COVID has thrown so many weird things at us, I'm kind of expecting a thunderstorm and high winds, just because if I expect it, then I'll be ready for it. And we're fine. We're
right.
Good to go. And I've had such great volunteers. I have new people. You were talking about new people being recruited, and my new people are great.
Oh, that's awesome. And Sally, you're right. You got to be prepared for everything in 2020, because it seems like everything is getting thrown at us this year.
Absolutely. Every time you turn around, you go, really? That happened too? I can't believe it. So we're just ready for anything right now.
Well, good luck with the rest of the day and the rest of the evening. I really appreciate you talking with us on this busy day.
It was an honor to be asked. Thank you.
Sally Ober is the town clerk in Lincoln. Again, about 1,000 Vermonters are registered to vote in Lincoln. As we are live here in the noon hour, we're hearing from town clerks around the state, and we'll be hearing from more of them in a few minutes. But we also wanted to check in with Vermont's Secretary of State, Jim Condos, on this logistically interesting primary day. I do want to point out that Jim Condos is on the Democratic ballot up for re-election. He doesn't face an official challenge, and the nature of the position he currently holds as Vermont's top election official has enough news value to make having him on the show today make sense. We wouldn't do this on the general election day. Jim Condos, thank you very much for being with us today on this special day.
You're welcome, Jane. It's lovely to be here.
I have several questions for you, and I think other Vermonters do as well. But before we get to that, let's get a perspective here from Anne, who is calling in from Bradford. Hi, Anne. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I am a senior citizen, and I requested a ballot, and I got it in the mail. But I didn't know anybody on the ballot, and I looked all over for my party and finally found it. And I saw the signs out, you know, but if I wouldn't have had that ballot, I wouldn't have had a clue how to vote because I don't have access to the internet because of the COVID-19. So I was very glad that they sent it out, but I would add that it would be even better if we could have a voter's manual, a voter's pamphlet like they have in Oregon. That way everybody could be informed if they want.
So, Anne, are you thinking about some of the candidates, you know, that not just statewide candidates that you wanted to be informed about? Because, you know, did you look at any of the other sort of news media sites for ballot guides?
I don't have access to the internet. I don't have it at home. And I don't have it at the senior center, and I don't have it at the library. So I was kind of, I finally did call a librarian because I didn't see much on the party. I called party people, and I really tried, you know, but I'm used to spending hours on an election. We take it seriously in Oregon. Very seriously.
Well, Anne, I really appreciate that perspective. And you know, I'll let you know a little behind the scenes here at VPR. We've been talking a lot about what do we do in this election, both for the primary, but especially for the general, now that we're thinking ahead about people who are voting early and how early we need to have voter guides up or how early we would need to do debates, because so many people may be voting significantly before election day that things like voter guides need to be in newspapers and on websites and in, you know, in your hands, and whether you use the internet or not, before they have been perhaps in the past. So I appreciate your perspective and your experience. We've heard from others as well. Another Anne in New Haven says, I cast a ballot by mail. I requested one a number of weeks ago, and I mailed it last Monday. It was easy. And Andra in Northfield says, I dropped my absentee ballot in the box outside of my town office last week. While I missed the wonderful excitement and camaraderie of a, quote, regular election, I was relieved to have had this safe, socially distanced opportunity to cast my vote, and I'm looking forward to using the same system in November. And speaking of systems, Jim Condos, thanks for hanging out here while we listen to some of the perspectives of other Vermonters. From your perspective, how has it been going so far to have Vermonters have these options of an sort of increased increased emphasis on absentee voting, but also still having the in-person option available?
So, Jane, I'm really glad that you designated it sort of as an option, because that's exactly what it is an option. And just to put it in perspective, you kind of had some numbers this morning, but we're already at 153,000 plus ballots that went out as of early this morning, and we've already received back over 111,000 coming back, almost 112,000. So we're well ahead. And just to put it in perspective, in August of 2018, non-presidential year, total ballots, both absentee, early vote, and in-person, was 107,000. And in 2016, the last presidential election, we were at 120,000. So we're approaching that number relatively quickly, and we expect that a lot more ballots will be coming in today of those absentees that have been mailed out. We're excited that we're entertaining the possibility of increasing our turnout record today, and it's just, to me, it's the more people that vote, the stronger our democracy is, and I think that that really is the telling point. You know, during this whole process, going back to March, when the pandemic first started to hit us, or even February, we had two overarching goals, and I think it was highlighted by a couple of the folks you talked to. One was to protect eligible voters' right to cast a ballot, and two was to protect the health and safety of not only our voters, but also our town clerks and poll workers.
Secretary of State, I want to ask you a question here for clarity on those numbers. You said that almost 112,000 of those absentee ballots have come back so far. But we actually got an email, a press release from your office this morning that said you've already had over 113,000 come back. That was sent at about 9:20. Do you think you might have outdated numbers, or is this an official update?
Actually, let me just take a quick peek, and I can let you know real quick. Like, I did request the number, and I may be working off of an old sheet. I thought I had the new sheet here, but I think you're actually. I do think you're right. It was 113,000. But you know, well, that number is going to climb. It's going to continue to climb all day today.
Yeah. So, do you think we're going to have a record turnout for the primary? Let me just ask you that first.
There's a very strong potential that we're going to have a record turnout. So in the last 15 years, the highest turnout that we had was 120,100 in August of 2016. And I suspect that this number will go high. And you are right, it was 113,000. It's actually approaching 114,000. So we have a very good chance. We know that we're going to see a lot more of these absentee ballots come back through the town clerk's polls. At this point, as Sally had mentioned, that people are dropping their ballots off, and this will be happening all around the state.
Well, so then let me ask you, why do you think it is that we know we're at least approaching record turnout? And absentee ballots have been both available and encouraged for several years now. So it's not necessarily that something is new here, that people can vote in a different way, although in the past they probably haven't been driving through their hockey rinks. But so what is it? Is it the politics, or is it something about the being able to highlight voting by mail or absentee voting or something else?
Well, I think there's a couple of factors that have entered into this. One being obviously the pandemic, and we've seen across the country. If you go back to I think it was April when Wisconsin was voting in their primary, they normally would in their primary have less than 100,000 ballots that are cast by absentee, and this year they had over 1 million. And that trend has been happening all around the country. That everybody has been seeing. Whether it's a red state or a blue state, they're all seeing increased absentee requests and ballots cast. So that's one factor. I think also what is also fairly unique this year is that all of the major races, governor, lieutenant governor, have contested races in both Republican and Democratic primaries. So when you have a contested race, you also generate some excitement there as well. So, and then, of course, we sent out the prepaid return postcard in June, late June, to all active registered voters asking if they wanted to vote by absentee, and that helped as well.
Let's go to our calls. Mike is calling in from Northern Vermont. Hi, Mike. Go right ahead. You had a question.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Mike.
My story is I requested Vermont early absentee voter ballot, and I got it. I got the instruction manual. I got the little envelope where you have to return your unused ballots. But I got one Democratic ballot and two Progressive Party ballots and no Republican ballot. Now, this may just be an oversight and an honest mistake, but it could also be a sign of whatever you call anomaly voter problem.
Yeah.
I'm disgruntled. I'm mad. If I was a Republican, I wouldn't even be able to vote. If I was a Democrat, well, my vote would have been thrown away because I didn't return a Republican ballot. It wouldn't have been counted.
So
or
that,
if I voted progressive, the same thing would have happened. So it's weird.
Mike, Mike, I would just tell you that that is an anomaly. The town clerks were responsible for sending out the absentee ballots, and apparently someone grabbed two off the wrong pile instead of just one of each. So you should have gotten three. If you still want to, you can go to the polls today. And if you haven't turned that in, you can go ahead and go to the polls and request a new ballot.
But, Mike, you're angry. You say, it sounds like you don't think that's enough.
I just wonder if it's happened to anybody else. It would be a great way for some evil-minded clerk to disenfranchise a whole slew of one party, you know, by having their votes thrown away because they, you know, the vote, not all of them were returned correctly.
Mike, can I ask you what you did? It sounds like you said if I was a Republican voter, if I was a Democratic voter, or if I were voting in the progressive primary, but it sounds like you didn't vote in any of them.
I was going to vote in the Democratic Party ballot. I called up my town clerk, and they informed me that I would have to drive there and bring all this stuff back and return it for another one. And I'm like, the whole point of this was to vote from home and not have to get in the car and drive and expose myself to, you know, a lot of neighbors here have COVID. I just didn't, you know, so I'm not going to vote this year because of this. And I'm going to hold on to this just to see if there's a nationwide trend. Like, if that's happened, do they keep track of these things when mistakes are made? Is the clerk, you know, write down, oh, we made a mistake?
Yeah, let me ask Secretary Kondos, because this is an anomaly, but Mike is wondering, you know, how do you figure out if something is an anomaly or if it was intentional, and, you know, what kind of tracking is there?
Well, first of all, let me just say that our town clerks are some of our hardest working municipal officials, and they have one overarching goal, and that goal is to have safe, secure, and accurate elections. I will tell you that I would feel 100% confident that this clerk or somebody in the clerk's office made a mistake, and that really is all this is. Has it happened elsewhere? It has happened a few times, but usually people will call up and the clerk and the person figure out a way to get those ballots back. The question is, the clerk would have needed those ballots back before they could issue you new ones. So there has to be some way for you to do that. I don't know the timing when that occurred, but I can tell you, again, I have ultimate faith in all of our town clerks. They are just trying to make sure that they maintain and uphold the integrity of our elections. And it's the process that we have. I really apologize for the problem that you ran into. I really hope that you would not forego your right to vote, and that you would find it in your heart to jump in your car and go to the polls deal with it that way. We have actually provided every town clerk every poll. We have supplied a infection prevention kit, which included hand sanitizing lotion, sanitizing wipes, face masks, and gloves, just for the purpose of making sure that people coming in will be safe.
Let's go to Patrick, who's calling in from Essex. Hi, Patrick. What's your question?
Hi. Yeah, so my question is kind of similar. My wife received her mail-in ballot, and she, when she had filled out the primary ballot that she wanted to fill out, she ripped up the other two. So we couldn't get to the, or she couldn't get to the town's clerk's office. So we're wondering, can she just go to the polls this evening when she gets home from work? Sounds like the answer is yes.
Yes. So, Secretary Kondos?
If she has not submitted that ballot even if she had ripped up those ballots that she didn't vote on, she could still return them. As long as she puts them in the unvoted ballot envelope. But if she has not done that, she can go in and sign an affidavit. There's a very small affidavit. It's a half a page. It's not, and it's in large print that basically says, I've received my absentee ballot, but have not voted it as yet and turned it in. So, and then she can go ahead and vote.
Okay. So I'm going to squeeze one more question in here while we have you, Secretary of State. Joan is calling in from Williston. Joan,
sure.
What's your question?
Hi, Secretary Condis. I'm wondering if you are working with any of the towns to have it available for voters to drop off their ballots early in a secure place. I tried to do that in Williston, but the box where you drop off tax and water bills is too small. And it seems like it would be very convenient to just have a place where we could just drop it off at the town hall rather than going out on the election day.
So what should people do who want to drop their ballots off?
So for the primary, we did offer all towns either a wall mount or a floor mount secure drop box. Some of the towns took it up. I think Williston did have one, and I believe that they had a floor mount, which should have been more than enough in size. And I'm not sure where they put it, but usually it's outside of City Hall somewhere, the town hall. And we're actually considering mandating secure drop boxes for the general election, which is obviously the big election.
Well, that's interesting to know. We'll keep an eye on that. And Secretary of State Jim Condos, I want to thank you very much for being on the program today on this primary day and helping keep us informed. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Thanks, Jane.
Today, we're talking about what this unusual Vermont primary is like in communities around the state. And let's talk now with Patty Dow. She is town clerk in Halifax, a town with about 580 voters in Windham County. Hi, Patty. Nice to talk with you.
Hi. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine. How are you? More to the point.
I am fantastic.
Why are you so fantastic on primary day?
I don't know. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous day. Everything seems to be going rather smoothly. I love my team. It's just going well.
So what is today like in Halifax in terms of in-person voting? Let's start there.
Well, there's been a few, not as many as normal. And we had to change our voting venue from the Halifax Multipurpose Room down the road to the Halifax Community Hall. So there's a little bit of confusion there. But we put up a lot of signs showing where voting is. And for the most part, it seems to be working rather well.
Did you have any trouble getting volunteers to work at the polling place this year?
No, actually, I did not. I had an overwhelming response to a letter that I sent out to everyone who indicated that they were interested in being a poll worker, and I received call after call after call with people just anxious to volunteer, even for the general election.
Wow. And so not just staffing your polling place, but also obviously you have to contend with counting the mail-in or walk over to the town hall ballots that come in. How are you managing that process?
The counting portion?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's tonight, so I'm not exactly sure how that's going to go. We do have about maybe five or six pairs of people that have volunteered to come in and count, which is plenty for the Vermont primary. We have some plexiglass dividers, which we may be using for the counting process. We're also going to entertain another option, but I believe it might take a little longer than normal, but I think it'll go off beautifully.
Yeah, so remind people, you have, even though mail-in ballots have been coming in, you're not allowed to count them before today.
I do not, only because I'm an office of one, and it's very hard for me to get another election official in, but we could have opened them up early if we had two election officials, if we were a tabulator town, but I did not. So they just lived in a box.
But my understanding is even if you open them early, you can't be recording results, right? Because you wouldn't want to be telling voters in your town, you know, this many people have voted for this person.
Right. The only thing that I do record is who dropped off the ballot for my checklist.
Mm. So it's going to be a late night for you, you think?
Well, I'm probably looking at around 9, 9:30, hopefully not too much later than that. So not too bad overall.
Excellent. So tell me, the last thing I want to ask you about is, you know, what have you been talking to voters about in terms of, you know, how they feel about this process, what questions they have for you about the trustworthiness? I mean, we've heard a lot of misinformation about election fraud. Are you fielding any requests about that or questions from voters?
I have, but only a couple. There's only been a couple to a few over the last couple of months. I try to assure them that the staff that I have is extremely trustworthy, and I wouldn't have anybody on my staff if I didn't trust them completely. And even though this year I have two newbies as ballot clerks, we go through an extensive training before the day even begins. I pre-send them the ballot clerk guidelines that I've created, and we just go through the whole process step by step. And I also assure the voters how the process works on absentee ballot when the ballot clerks get the ballots from me, and how they process it to make sure that their votes that they have cast are still private, no one sees who they voted for, and how step by step the process goes.
Well, it sounds like it's been going great so far, and I hope you're able to keep your enthusiasm all the way through the counting process this evening. Patty, thank you very much for talking with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yes, and happy primary day. That's Patty Dow. Patty is town clerk in Halifax. And let's get a final perspective in here today from Chuck Sweetman, a justice of the peace and longtime poll volunteer in Landgrove, a town of about 128 voters in Bennington County. Hi, Chuck. Nice to talk with you.
Nice to talk to you.
So 128 voters, we've been going down in number in, you know, population count as we go through the program today. Do things feel different to you in Landgrove?
Yeah, we actually have 132 voters.
Oh, I'm sorry, 132 voters. I missed a significant percentage.
You know, absolutely. And you know, let me tell you that this has been great for us. Landgrove always tries to be and always has been one of the top two, three in the percentage of people voting every single year. And so I worked the shift with my wife this morning, the 8 to 10 shift. When we left, we had about 40% already. We had 52 out of 132.
Wow.
And that was pretty good. We feel good about this. We have six teams of two people teams that take shifts of a couple of hours each. And then at the end of the day, we have five different teams. Some of the people are the same. They change the teams to verify and work on the ballots. And then one of the traditions in Landgrove is once we've got them all done, we put them up on a blackboard because the town hall is an old schoolhouse. And people come in and look at the blackboard, and then everybody who worked that day, we have a pizza party.
Are you doing all of that this year? I mean, the blackboard, having people come in and out, and then the pizza party, it seems like maybe not this year.
No, we're doing it all this year. I mean, we have ability to do social distancing. Some people, I'm sure, will look in the schoolhouse windows to see the results. Crystal Cleary is our town clerk, and she is spectacular. She has just done such a nice job. We have social distancing. We have masks for anybody. We have hand sanitizers. So it's really been super.
It sounds like you really enjoy this work. And I understand you said you and your wife did the 8 to 10 a.m. shift, and you actually request that one specifically because usually it's one of the most busy ones.
Oh, we have competition. The two-man teams, two-person teams have competitions every year to who can have the most voters during their time. So the best slot, and we were there with our Red Sox masks on as Red Sox fans. So,
that's pretty partisan, yeah. Chuck. You're putting on your Red Sox masks? I mean, jeepers.
Yes, we did. Absolutely. And and so we have that competition every year. That's a great slot. The other great slot is at the end of the day, the sort of the 5 to 7 slot after people are through working. So it's a fun little thing that we do. Our community knows that there's a lot of responsibilities that you have from being a citizen. And one of the damn important things is to vote. We are going to put a campaign on this coming year to get 100% for the November election. Now, we have three people who are working and living overseas, and we have college kids, and that's always challenging, those two groups. But that's our goal, to get 100% in the November election.
Why do you think Landgrove has such a sense of civic duty and civic pride in this regard?
We're a great community in Southern Vermont. We care about each other. We have a lot of community activities together. You know, we have a total of 6,000 acres and about 170 home sites. People know and people care about this community and do anything for anybody. And it's a special place. Landgrove is a darn special place in Southern Vermont.
Well, it's interesting to hear about and interesting to hear. I wonder if this idea of having the busiest shift will change as more people go with the absentee or mail-in ballots. Do you think you'll be requesting a different shift later, next time, maybe?
No, that's still the important shift. No, absolutely. That's a good shift.
And what about in terms of counting the ballots, counting the absentee ballots that have come in? How's that working?
We do not count them until, we do not open them until 7 o'clock till after the polls are. Any ballots that have come in, have been registered that they have come in. We put them in the box and we do not open those until we open all of the other ballots, at the end of the day, 7 o'clock. Then we divide up in two person teams.
So you'll be back then this evening, it sounds like.
Yes, justice of the peace. That's one of the things we'll do. I will be back there. My wife will not be back there. We try to have different teams for the counting. Mm-hmm. We tally all those again. Crystal clear is all the tallying on those. We put them on the blackboard. Anybody who wants to look from outside or wants to come in with a mask, they can. And everybody who worked that day, we have a pizza party.
Well, Chuck, thank you very much.
And the pizza is donated.
Got to get that point in. And I hope it's good pizza, too. I wish I could be there. Chuck Sweetman is working the polls in the small town of Landgrove. Chuck, thanks. And good luck with the rest of your day today.
Thanks. It's been a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And thanks to everybody who participated in today's show. You can continue to let us know what it's been like in your community and stay with VPR throughout the afternoon and evening as we keep an eye on primary voting and offer whatever results and analysis are available through the evening hours.